It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And if you want to talk to me, just email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Another great show planned for you today. In studio with me is my good friend, valued sponsor of the show, Susan Harris. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. It's bright and early. Well, not so bright even yet. Just early.
It will be, but I'll tell you what, when the sun comes up, it'll be gorgeous looking out over those mountains.
I can't wait to see it.
So it's great to have you here. And really, this precipitated from a conversation that we were having. There was a piece in the Epic Times by Dr. Tatiana Day. About the mind, an untapped health resource. And, you know, that's you and I've talked about well-being and attitude and gratitude. And so we thought it'll be fun to talk about that today.
Yeah, when I saw this article, I was just intrigued by it because it just really, you know, re-emphasized some things that I had already felt were true about your health and your mind and how powerful your mind can be around your health.
Well, it really can be. They're so connected. Attitude is so important, and you've been all over that. And so it'll be fun to talk about that in segments 3 and 4. In the second segment, William Perry Penley, who is the acting director of the Bureau of Land Management, as many of you know, it's really historic. They are moving the Bureau of Land Management out to the west, which is where most of the land is. And we'll talk with him about that in the second segment. So, Mr. Steve, it's Wednesday. How are you doing, Producer Steve?
It's going to be a busy day, so I'm just sitting here waiting to go.
And guess what? What else today is? Today's Lincoln's birthday. Did you know that?
I said February 12th. I think, why does that date resonate? And that's it.
That's it. That's why it, yeah. So, but we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. And so that's one of the themes of the show is to try to get our brains around this because we're freedom people. We're Americans. And freedom doesn't mean willy-nilly. It means that it's the responsible exercise of freedom is what liberty really is, Susan.
That's right. Each individual is responsible for themselves. And when you take responsibility for yourself, you're actually able to do a lot more for other people.
It's amazing how there's that correlation. And so we're freedom people. We need to make sure that we're looking at these issues. And then we need to be able to converse with our friends and our family in reasonable conversations. But we need to engage, I think, Susan.
Yeah, and remove the emotions from the conversations and really try to get to some solid, positive solutions for everyone. Things that make sense on a common sense level. And really, it's difficult to do that when you let your emotions get in the way.
Mm-hmm. And emotions and attitude, all of those things are connected as well. So we'll delve into that some more in segments 3 and 4. Always like to say, I'm looking at you, Steve. I wanted to say thank you. You've got a look on your face. What are you thinking about?
Well, I don't want to take the time because we're so jammed up, but I'll contribute to that little conversation right there. A good friend that I met when I worked at another station eons ago, he recently posted, I think just this week, he said something along the lines that if you're going to continually talk about things political, I might stop following you or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And it was very, very judgmental the way it was said, because it's like, you have no right to talk about that. And I'm thinking, I dare not say his name, people who are making these comments and whatnot are genuinely concerned, if not frightened, about what's going on. And a public forum like Facebook is, you know, a natural outlet. But this threat, I'll unfriend you. I thought, how ridiculous is that?
Well, that would be his choice. That could be his freedom to do that. However, what you see here is actually, I think, a subtle move to try to censor you. to try to get you to not say what is on your mind. And that's a direct assault on some of the principles that we have of freedom of speech and freedom of thought. And so the idea that if we disagree, you can't say that anymore, that's a dangerous spot to be, Steve.
Well, I guess that's maybe why I'm a little bit flummoxed over it, if I can use that word, because it was so unexpected. You know, it's like for that very reason, the freedom of speech thing. And but this, you know, this, well, if you don't play ball, I'm going to unfriend you.
Well, and that does happen, but we still have to engage in reasonable conversations, and that's why we do this show. So thank you to the team. Thank you to Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie for all of your hard work, and thank you to each of you listeners. You're each, you're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Go out today, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. As you know, we always like to have a little wisdom or inspiration. And I was thinking of Audrey Hepburn. Remember Audrey Hepburn and all the, you know, the beautiful.
Yes.
And, you know, she was a British actress and humanitarian. She was recognized as a film and fashion icon. Did you know she had really long feet?
I did not know that.
She had really long feet. Yeah.
I always think of her as being a very petite person.
Very petite, but very long feet. So,
that's so funny.
Okay. And she was ranked by the American Film Institute as the third greatest female screen legend in the golden age of Hollywood. She was inducted into the International Best Dressed List Hall of Fame as well. She was born in 1929. She died in 1993 for the movies I love, Breakfast at Tiffany's, My Fair Lady, Roman Holiday, and Sabrina. And I may have to do a movie weekend one of these weekends. You know what?
Yeah, I was going to say, those are some great movies. That would be fun to go back and watch them again.
But this is what she said. Beauty is being the best possible version of yourself inside and out. I love that.
I have to agree because, you know, if you're feeling good, especially on the inside, it just radiates through you.
It really does. So, again, that was Audrey Hepburn. She said, beauty is being the best possible version of yourself inside and out. So, Susan, we always have a little humor. Don't you say anything, Steve, okay? And I was thinking about, you know, mental health and all, and so I found this. It says, apparently people who exercise have been shown to recover better and be less at risk from mental health issues. So who said you can't run away from your problems?
I highly recommend it.
Dare we talk New Hampshire?
Yeah, let's do. Let's talk a little New Hampshire. So apparently Joe Biden did not do well in the New Hampshire primaries
right
yesterday. He came in fourth or fifth, I think.
No, sixth.
Sixth.
Wait, one, two, three. Yeah, no, you're right. He was number five.
Oh, okay, number five.
With 8.4%.
And he didn't even hang around. He headed down to South Carolina, didn't even say thank you. But so, yeah, Joe Biden came in fifth.
I think it was by noon he was already headed for the airport.
Was he?
So, right.
Wow.
Okay. So you found this meme, Steve, and it has a picture of Joe Biden. He says, finished fifth in Iowa behind an old communist, a gay guy, and a fake Indian. There's nothing quite like getting your rear end kicked by the village people.
Oh, my gosh. That is perfect. Perfect description.
Humor. Humor is so important. And so anyway, yeah.
So Bernie took the number one spot right behind him. Okay, Bernie was 25.7%. Mayor Pete, 24.4%.
Pretty close.
The big surprise was Amy Klobuchar. Mm-hmm. That was 19.7%. So she was number three. Liz Warren, 9.2%. And,
wow, that's a huge drop down to 9.2.
Yeah, Uncle Joe at 8.4. And two dropouts, Andrew Yang and Michael Bennett.
Michael Bennett. You know, I really think that the whole impeachment thing really hurt Biden because it started to shed light on some of these shenanigans that have been going on, I think, for a long time between, you know, they would say impeach Trump. The next words were Joe and Hunter Biden. And I think that that has really hurt him, Susan.
I think it did. And it was an interesting strategy that the Democrats used to go after Trump with that particular issue when Biden was going to be right in the midst of all the turmoil. So it was a very odd strategy, I think. I'm not sure what they were thinking would come out of that. But I guess they were willing to sacrifice absolutely anybody, including their front runner at one point front runner for president to get Trump. They were willing to even sacrifice that.
I think they're very surprised, though, that Bernie is leading, in these primaries.
I don't know why they're surprised. In 2016, Bernie was leading.
So, and he is.
So what's the big surprise?
Well, I don't think they thought that he could win. But now right. It's looking like he may take them all out. I think that maybe they'll start to push for Klobuchar. Steve, what do you think?
Well, just go back to 2016, like Susan just said, and then what happened? The party found a way to short-circuit him, and I can't help thinking it's coming again.
If that's the case.
Well, it's all set up to do that, just like what was set up last time. You know, they still have, what do they call them? They're super delegates. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that system is alive and well, and that's their back pocket.
I don't think I'd want to be in Milwaukee if that happens with the DNC convention. I think if I'd mentioned this on the air, I'd gone down and walked in the MLK parade with some friends of mine. And some of the Antifa kids were there kind of trying to, you know, act real tough or whatever,
right.
You know, walk along with us. And they were just looking like they were trying to cause trouble, but yet they also had, they were Bernie supporters. They had Bernie signs,
right.
They had Bernie water bottles. And so if this happens, I don't think it's going to go very well.
You know, it'll be very interesting to see what happens. It's another reason that people need to wake up and pay attention. Because if we're going to allow that type of intimidating behavior and harassment, and maybe even, you know, to the level of what I would call assault and violence on a certain level, if that's what this country is headed toward in our political system, it is really scary.
It is very scary. And that is why, Steve, you need to make sure that we engage and not shut down our freedom of thought and our freedom of speech. So anything else you wanted to say on that, Steve?
Well, it's been a couple of weeks. I haven't seen anything lately, but there were some videos posted by Antifa basically making the threat and saying, you know, we're not going to allow this to happen. And if it does happen, you better watch yourselves.
Okay. We're going to go to break here in just a minute. Before we do that, though, we are hitting a bill of the day. And actually, the bill of the day and the first headline that Patty has pulled is the bill of the day is HB 2011-55. And remember, HB stands for House Bill coming out of the House. It's the year. So House Bill 2011-55. It's a higher efficiency new construction regarding residences. And the sponsor is Representative Valdez, who is a renewable energy entrepreneur. Now, you talk about self-dealing on this. This particular bill, the summary says that what is going to require is that each new residence will, a builder is required to have an electric vehicle charging system, offering one of these, an electric vehicle charging system, upgrades of wiring to accommodate future installation of an electric vehicle charging system, or a 208 or 240 volt alternating current plug-in located in a place accessible to a motor vehicle parking area. It also requires the home builder to offer electric heating options, and these requirements apply to both traditional, detached, single-family homes and buildings that contain owner-occupied condominium units. Now, we talk about how expensive housing is in Colorado now. These regulations make new bills more and more expensive, pricing our young people out of, condominiums, out of, that first opportunity, Susan, to start to be able to buy something where you live and create wealth.
Yeah, it's very unusual to me that no one can seem to understand that adding regulations like this just increases costs to the developers. And they are going to pass that on. They're not going to just eat those costs. They are going to pass those costs on, and the prices will have to go up. It's the same with rent control and any other type of regulations that you put on that type of an industry. When you start to regulate, people have to recoup those costs somehow, and it's going to show up in the price of the products.
It is. And so they talk about affordable housing, but yet then these things make the housing more expensive. And then it's so self-dealing that Representative Valdez is in this renewable energy business. So, I mean, this just stinks all the way around.
Yeah. You know, obviously, affordable housing is not the concern. The concern is power and money, because this representative works in this industry and he's pushing for power and money to benefit himself or herself. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm not sure either.
But so. It's very frustrating because, you know, they claim affordable housing is this big issue, but you got to look at what their actions are. You can't follow. You can't trust what these politicians say. You have to actually dig down and look at their actions.
That's for sure. So let's we're going a little bit long on this. There's a lot more we should talk about on this, but William Perry Pinley, the acting director of the Bureau of Land Management, is on the line, and we need to take a quick break. Before we do that, though, the Avalanche and Nuggets are in the hunt in their divisions. March Madness is right around the corner. The place to watch all these games is Hooters Restaurants. They have plenty of TV, so you won't miss any of the action. Today is Dine-In Wing Day, all the wings you can eat for $15.99. And if you don't want to cook, drop by Hooters Restaurants and pick up dinner to take home, or you can have Hooters wings delivered right to your front door. More information, go to my website, kimmunson.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, William Perry Pinley is the acting director of the Bureau of Land Management, and they are doing something that's so historic, is they are moving that bureau out of Washington, D.C., to Grand Junction, to the west, where most of the federal lands are. So we're going to find out how that move's going. So we'll be right back. Susan Harris is in studio. Stay tuned.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Be sure and check out the website, kimmunson.com. Susan Harris, one of my valued partners, is in studio here. We'll be talking about health and well-being in the third and fourth segment. But on the line is William Perry Pinley. He is the acting director of the Bureau of Land Management. They're moving that bureau out to Grand Junction. William Perry Pinley, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be with you. And speaking of Grand Junction, that's where I am. At the Robert F. Burford National Headquarters.
Well, how is the move going, Perry?
Well, it's going super. It's going really great. We are hiring like crazy to fill all of our slots. You know, one of the things we discovered when we got there was we had so many positions at headquarters doing Western work that had not been filled simply because nobody who had the qualifications wanted to live in Washington. The high cost of living, the insane commuting times, the distance from recreational activities, we just couldn't attract the people. And so out here, it's easy to get people. We have a chief of staff position we advertised. The first week we had 19 applicants. When we closed the opening, we had 60 applicants in all. I've interviewed the top ones, and they're just really outstanding people that are going to do great work out here. We're finishing up the third floor of our new building. We hope it'll be finished in time for an opening early in April. But we're doing business, and I want to tell you, I'm traveling around to all our field offices. I was over in Silt and Meeker and Craig, and I'm meeting with the local folks, and it's just they're really pumped. That the people who run their activities are just a drive away or maybe a short flight.
Wow. Now, Susan Harris is in the studio with me. She's one of my a good friend and also a sponsor of the show. And when we were talking about it, I mean, you were pretty incredulous about it, weren't you?
I was very excited about this. First of all, Grand Junction is a vibrant community in and of itself. And this is just going to really enhance the whole community there. I'm very excited for them.
Well, thank you. I'm excited. I'm excited for Grand Junction. Let me say something about Grand Junction. They have been so gracious and so welcoming. I met with the mayor and all the members of the city council, city attorney yesterday, and it's like, welcome home. It was just a terrific exchange. And everywhere I go, all the merchants, all the people, all the citizens, they recognize me and know who we are. And just they say, thanks for coming to Colorado. And it's a and that's why we have bipartisan support for it. The governor supports our move out here, and not listening to the Washington, D.C. naysayers. You know, Kim and Susan, 99.99% of the BLM lands is here in the 11 western states in Alaska. 97% of our employees are here, but 50 and 60% of our top most senior seasoned decision makers in Washington. We want to have them out here so they can delegate more responsibility to the field, do better work for the American people, and make decisions earlier in the process, because we get to know the people who live here who are so affected by our decisions.
So, Perry, I think, you know, a lot of people want to try to shrink some of these government bureaus and all. Do you anticipate any changes or anything with the Bureau of Land Management now that you're out in Grand Junction?
The changes I expect is we're going to make better decisions. Frankly, everybody who we had about 159 people. We moved 500 positions out here. We only had about 159 people who we had to move and say, hey, your job's going out west. But two-thirds of those people said, yeah, I'm going to move out. Now, you know, the naysayers in Washington, they said, oh, you know, almost everybody will refuse to go. No, two-thirds said, yeah, we want to go.
Wow.
A handful who said, no, we can't go. Mom and dad live here. I got young kids here. I grew up here, whatever it is. We found them new jobs. And we found them jobs in the Department of Interior. We found BLM, Fish and Wildlife Service, National Park Service, whatever it is. And we're down to, of the 159, we're down to two people we've yet to place. And I think in the days ahead, we'll get them placed, we'll get them jobs. But we're filling all our positions. As I tell the field office, my goodness, we have so much work to do. The president has such a ambitious and exciting agenda. The secretary does too. We have many things we want to do, and we need every one of these people to get this job done.
Oh, did you have a question, Susan?
No, I just think it's so fantastic what you guys are being able to do. And the reason that two-thirds of those people came to Colorado is, quite frankly, two-thirds of a whole country would like to live in Colorado if they could.
They certainly want to live on the western slope. And, you know, I'm born and raised in Cheyenne. I've lived most of my life in the west. I've been in every county in the west. I know this country. I've hiked and fished and hunted and biked all across the west. I've been in the national parks, and I love our public lands, and I want to make them better. And speaking of all that, you know, we had a landmark day yesterday. For the first time in American history, we developed 1 billion barrels of oil on federal lands. That's unbelievable. Let me, you know, Kim, I'm old enough to remember Jimmy Carter saying, we will run out of natural gas by 1990. In the 1990s, everybody, all the experts, and I put quotes around experts, all the experts were saying, we've hit peak oil. We are now producing the most oil we ever will produce, and we're going to run out. And then, of course, Barack Obama says, you cannot drill your way out of energy dependence. And the president came in and said, phooey on that. We're going to do it. And we've done it. We've done it in the offshore, the 1 billion acres of land offshore. We've done it onshore. And 1 billion barrels of oil and $7 billion of revenue into the federal treasury. It's an unprecedented accomplishment, and we're just so pumped about it.
No pun intended, right?
Oh, absolutely, no pun intended. And, you know, as the president says, the best is yet to come, because we have, during this time, we've issued new leases. We've issued leases on nearly 2 million acres of land. We collected nearly a quarter of $1 billion. in initial payments and fees for people to drill on those lands. So we're continuing to develop that. You know, when I before I joined the Trump administration, one of my great frustrations as I watched Obama was that this miracle of hydraulic fracturing, and it is an economic, energy, environmental miracle for sure, was only on state and private lands. Westerners were denied the opportunity to participate because of Obama's policies. And we have counties in the West where 60, 70, 80, 90% of the land is owned by the federal government. And if we don't allow the lands to be used for economic activity, we won't have hospitals, we won't have schools, we won't have law enforcement, and mom and dad will not be able to tell the kids, come back and live here, live where you grew up and raise the grandkids. And so we've opened the door to that kind of development, and now the West is participating in this development, and that's why we're at 1 billion barrels of oil. Incredible achievement by President Trump and Secretary Bernhardt.
Okay, just a couple of questions here. And Steve, if you want to bring Jason, can we bring Jason on as well in case he has any questions? Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management is on the line. So Perry, can oil and gas development coexist on federal lands with recreation and, keeping the lands pristine, if you will? Can those two things exist together?
Oh, absolutely. That's the great thing. We here in the West, people still want to come here and live in the West. And we've been developing coal and minerals and oil and gas for decades. And yet, wow, magically, we are still a place where people want to live. And that was the message I got from the city council and the mayor and the city attorney yesterday. They said, we love the oil and gas development here in on the Western Slope. We know how vital it is to the American people. And yet it's wonderful the development has happened such that we still have these beautiful recreational opportunities here on the Western Slope. So, yeah, absolutely. We can have it all. And, Kim, let me say one other thing about energy independence. And, by the way, we became, under President Trump, a net energy exporter last September.
It's astonishing.
First time in history. You know, they say, well, it goes back 70 years or whatever it does. It goes back forever because 70 years ago was the first time we started keeping records. But the big change, you know, obviously people are not going to have to decide between fuel and food. People are going to have affordable energy. And the reason we have a blue-collar boom today simply is because manufacturers can say, oh, wow, I can build in America because the price of energy is relatively inexpensive compared to Europe or England or wherever. But the big change for me as the former Marine and the father of a Marine and friends who have young men and women in the service is the geopolitical change.
Yes, yes, yes.
If we ever went to war for oil or energy, we will never go to war for oil or energy in the future. And moreover, you know, for those people who have humanitarian concerns, we can respond to humanitarian concerns without fear that, oh, they're going to cut our oil off. Oh, they're going to cut this off. No, they aren't. We got it here in America so we can stand for what's right, America first, and we can do the humanitarian thing. We can do the right thing without our boys and young men and women going to war.
And that is so important. Perry, we're going a little longer. I've got a couple of other questions. Jason McBride is on the line. Jason, did you have any questions for Perry?
No, I certainly would know a lot less about what energy harvesting does to the land than Perry knows, and he doesn't seem to think it's a big problem, so that's good enough for me.
Okay, so hey, Perry, I have one other question. Patty had pulled this this headline. This is from Colorado Peak Politics, and the Attorney General out here in Colorado, Phil Weiser, is basically setting the fox loose in the hen house regarding, I think, oil and gas. He has appointed, I believe, Joel Miner, who worked for Earth Justice, also known as the Sierra Club Legal Defense Fund, which is dedicated to the elimination of basically oil and gas. And he's going to be representing that particular commission, which would be the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. And in his Stanford profile, this is what Miner's profile said: I decided to go to law school to protect the health of communities that I cared about from the harmful health and environmental impacts of oil and gas development. And he's going to be representing the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. This seems like a not a good idea to me. Do you have any comments on that, Perry?
Well, I won't speak to it. It's a Colorado issue. It's an ethical issue, if it is, for the people of Colorado to decide. But I will say this. I was watching the returns coming in from New Hampshire last night, and I was reflecting on the fact that every one of the Democratic presidential candidates has called for an end to the development of fossil fuels on federal land. And I just say this to them. Ask the governor of New Mexico, who happens to be a Democrat, what she thinks of that, because in fiscal year 2019, New Mexico received $1 billion for oil and gas development on federal lands in New Mexico, and it's going straight to her schools and straight to her counties and straight to the rural people of New Mexico. Ask the governor of New Mexico, do you think we ought to stop developing oil and gas on federal lands? And she'll say a big heck no.
Okay, and I do think that we can all coexist together. We can have exploration on federal lands and also be very conservation-minded as well. And Perry Pinley, I know you have a great love of the West. You grew up in Cheyenne, and it is great to have the Bureau of Land Management out in Grand Junction. Keep us in the loop on what's going on. Thank you so much.
Well, Kim, let me just say thank you in parting and also say we want to be a good neighbor, and we cannot be a good neighbor unless we're a neighbor first. And now we are your neighbor.
I love that. So, William Perry Pinley, thank you so much. Enjoy the Western Slope. It's so gorgeous out there. I love it out there. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim, for all you do.
Okay. And, hey, Jason McBride, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing fabulous. How about yourself?
Well, we're doing just great. This is very exciting, what's going on there. So what's going on with the markets?
Well, the markets have been very, very happy, despite the little hitches we had with the coronavirus scare. Actually, Kim, after we backed off and came right down to the 50-day moving average back on the last day of January, I'm looking at the S&P. I mean, the market has been up, up, up. It's actually gone to new highs. Yesterday was a little bit of a disappointment because we had good gains in the morning, and those faded by the end of the day, and we gave most of them back. But it looks like we're going to open strong this morning, so if we can close on a strong up note today, I think that would be a positive. But, you know, Kim, it really is amazing, the strength of this market. I mean, we had not too long ago fears we were going to World War III with Iran. The market had a tiny little blip there. That didn't happen. Instantly resumed a very strong uptrend. And it looks like with this coronavirus, at least so far, it's pretty much been the same thing. I think it's interesting with that, you know, nothing's really changed with the pace of infections or deaths or anything like that. But, boy, it sure has cooled down in the media, hasn't it?
Well, I sure hope that it has. Do you see any problems with any, like, bringing, you know, there's a lot of manufacturing in China, bringing any of those products in? Do you see anything like that slowing down the economy?
You know, that's always hard to predict. It could cause a little bit of a hitch if there's products that are very plentiful that we're dependent on, that we can't get into the country and we can't tool up to make them ourselves very quickly. You know, that's the one spot I could see it. If China's kind of the exclusive producer, we can't do it quickly, and there aren't any other countries manufacturing that certain product, it could cause some constraints. But as far as a huge problem, I don't see it. What I would worry about more, Kim, I still wouldn't trust China. I know they manufacture a lot of the generic drugs and other things. I mean, they may actually pretend like they don't have product or can't manufacture it just to try to put us over a barrel in one way or another for negotiation power.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's very possible. On Monday morning, I'm going to have a guy from the Epoc Times on who is an expert on China, and we're going to be talking about these government officials, these Chinese government officials, speaking of not trusting them, that, you know, did that big hack. So we'll talk about that on Monday morning. Jason McBride, I highly recommend people sit down with you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management, do a discovery session. As you mentioned, as the market is getting higher and higher and higher, it may make some sense to pull some of that out, maybe put it into an income-producing investment. You know, just do some planning. And you guys, tailor make, you sit down with your clients and you talk with them and find out, you know, what you know makes them tick, and then you can come up with a plan for them together that works for them. So I would highly recommend that people reach out to you.
Well, I appreciate that, Kim, and I think it is wise because, you know, no one can predict when the market's going to stop going up and it's going to start going down and keep going down. Eventually it will happen. And we just don't know exactly when. So there's one fact that's indisputable, and that's that the market has gone way, way, way up. Most people have seen tremendous gains on it, and it is a wise move to think about, let's say, monetizing some of that, protecting some of that, because like I always say, only the liars get out right at the top.
That's true. So, Jason McBride, be sure and give Natalie a call over at 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. Natalie will be at the switchboard at 7:30 at Presidential Wealth Management. Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Susan Harris is in studio. And we're going to talk about the mind, an untapped health resource. You won't want to miss this. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. In studio with me is my good friend and partner of the show, Susan Harris. It's always great to have you here.
Oh, thanks so much, Kim. It's good to see you.
And I love our conversations because we typically are talking about health and well-being. We've done some shows on gratitude. And actually, I have to tell you, I run pretty hot, you know, and so I had my physical and my doctor said, you know, you can kind of watch that blood pressure a little bit. So I'm doing that. So this morning I took it and I thought, okay, I'm going to think about everything I'm grateful for. And I was within the range I was supposed to be this morning. So I think the mind really does have a lot to do with our physical well-being.
It really has a lot to do with it. People don't realize how much they can improve their health by just really taking a look at what they're thinking about on a regular basis.
Well, and you found this piece in the Epoc Times, The Mind, an Untapped Health Resource.
Yes. So this woman, her name is Dr. Denning. She put this article out. It was back in December, actually, and she told a really nice story about her own personal experience with her husband, who was a very healthy, almost never got sick. And then they moved from Virginia to Florida, and he started getting these horrible sinus infections, ended up having to have sinus surgery, and that didn't even really solve the problem. It made it better. But they were trying to figure out, why was he all of a sudden getting sick all the time? And they thought, well, there's just more mold here in Florida. But also, he was under a lot more stress. So they thought, well, maybe stress is also contributing to this. Well, they did get an opportunity to move back to Virginia, and amazingly, his sinus infections cleared up. So they were like, well, you know, again, the mold issue could have come into play. But also, we're back to our normal stress level. The stress has been reduced. You're feeling better. Maybe stress had something to do with it. So she pointed this out to her husband, and he's like, you know, you might be onto something there. Maybe stress is impacting my health. And you know what? So I am going to be really careful and also avoid absolutely anyone who is sick. I'm really going to be super, super careful and never, you know, if I know someone's sick, I'm just going to keep my distance and make sure I'm not around them. Well, then she started noticing something new happening in his health. Anytime their young son would have just the slightest sniffles or come down with a cold, if her husband knew about it, he would immediately also get sick. So just the mere suggestion of your son is not feeling well, he would immediately start having those same symptoms. And if she was really careful and just did not mention that their son had a little cold, her husband did not get sick. So this little phenomena, she brought this to his attention as well, and he didn't really believe her at first. Then he started kind of paying more attention. Uh-huh. And sure enough, as long as he wasn't aware of illness around him, he did not get sick.
Interesting.
So, and I have noticed that myself in my own family, and the reason that that got my attention is I've had that same experience with my own husband. As
now,
long
we're not
as
gonna
I
throw him under the bus.
No. But I did always notice that if you don't acknowledge illness amongst the family, he was healthier. But the minute you brought it up, he would just start not. He wouldn't necessarily get sick, but just not feel good.
It's so interesting. So one of my relatives, my aunt had said that he was either coming down with a cold, he had a cold, or he's getting over a cold. And I was thinking, you know, that's very, I mean, we realize people do get illnesses.
Yes, of course.
But what we're talking about is your perceptions can matter so much.
Right. And, you know, what Dr. Denning discusses is really, this is very similar to the placebo effect of medications.
Okay.
And they've done studies, too, about, you know, how you feel about your health can really impact your health. There's a study by John Hopkins that they looked at almost 6,000 people over the age of 65 and found that poor image of your health would roughly double your risk of death within 5 years. Now, this is more impactful than congestive heart failure or smoking on your health, just your outlook and your image of your own health. So to me, that is quite impactful to think that if I have a more positive outlook, just in generally more optimistic outlook about my health and my well-being, that can be more beneficial to me. And I can, you know, really impact my health even more than things that I might do to ward off heart disease or, you know, to quit smoking and some of those things that we know are horrible for our health.
Well, you know, today's Lincoln's birthday, and it seems like I'm remembering a quote where he talks about attitude, how we can change our attitude. And I think, Susan, a lot of people say, this is how I am, that, you know, I'm not that optimistic, and I believe people can change their attitudes, but I'm not sure that we hear that much anymore these days. I think that's probably why this piece in the Epic Times resonated with you.
I think it definitely did. You know, we are not our thoughts. And just because you're having thoughts doesn't mean you have to believe your thoughts. If you really take a look at all of the things that you're thinking throughout the day, if you just start, like you're in the car driving down the road, if you tune in to what thoughts are going through your head, how much of those thoughts are actually true? And it's an interesting process to try. You know, it's something, if you're bored sitting at a stoplight, you should just try it. What's going through your mind at that moment? And are those thoughts actually true? Really, really true? Even the thought that you're having a bad day. Because if you take a look at, okay, what is it about this day that's bad? you can often take a look at that and go, you know, that's really not that bad. Why do I think that's bad?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Really good point.
Or maybe you know, you're a little bit tired, but you get to do something later in the day that you're looking forward to. So instead of thinking about being tired, think about what you're looking forward to doing today to try to just change your perception of those thoughts and feelings.
And that's one of the things that Dr. Denning, and I misspoke earlier. I had said Dr. Day, but it's Dr. Denning.
I didn't even notice that.
Well, we always try to get things right, and so I wanted to acknowledge that earlier. But the influence of positive thoughts, you know, there's so much negativity out there. And it seems like, you know, that the news, the media, and all these things are always bombarding us to get us to worry, to divide us. And so you have to have a real discipline to make sure that you get your, it's a mental discipline to get to positive thoughts. Wouldn't you agree?
You really do. And I myself struggle with this. One of the big things I do, and we've talked about this before, is I have reminders in my phone, and it's 5 or 6 times a day. I have a little nice positive thing that pings me on my phone, and it just resets me and reminds me to come back to the present moment, to wake up, to try not to just go through the day on auto control or autopilot. And to really think about what is happening and be aware of my surroundings and be aware of what's going on in my head. Some of the things that I find I really struggle with, it just so helps to have just this little ping throughout the day to remind me to wake up and pay attention and to look at all the great things in my life and remind myself that life is good. And quite frankly, Kim, one of my thoughts is, from an evolutionary standpoint, we have a tendency to focus on negative because that's about survival. And, you know, back during prehistoric times if you want to go to, say, caveman times, you had to pay attention to any threat that was going to come at you because that was the most important thing, was survival.
Right.
How are we going to survive? And so you had to really focus on what's the potential negative that's out there. How can I protect myself?
Okay.
Well, in this day and age, those levels of survival are not as much of an issue. We can survive. And so, but evolutionarily, our brain is still focused on all the negativity because we think we need to survive. So that's just not true anymore, though. So you have to retrain your brain because you don't need that for survival anymore. You can let that go. You can relax and actually participate in your day and be more positive and optimistic about your day.
Okay, we're going to go to break. But on that note, don't you think in politics, many times there's a focus on negativity and people start to question, become fearful about what's going to happen down the road. And so then politicians say, I am the answer to that. And so maybe that's why we see so much negativity in politics and media right now. So let's keep that thought out there. Let's go to break, and we'll be right back. Susan Harris is in studio with me. This is the Kim Munson Show, and we'll be right back.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the show. I am Kim Munson. This is the Kim Munson Show. In studio with me is Susan Harris, good friend and also partner on the show. It's great to have you here. This is going so quickly because it's a great conversation. I just had mentioned that you said that it's the Susan Harris theory on this whole negativity, and it used to be you had to be aware so that you could survive. And I think that that in our culture right now, there's so much negativity. If you don't do this, this will happen. If you don't buy this product, this will happen. If you don't vote for this person, this will happen. And it seems like they're almost kind of playing into that negativity. And we have so many blessings to be grateful for now.
We do. You know, it's easy to let fear control you. And I think you're right. The marketing people are experts at playing on our fears, not only about politics, but about how we feel about how we look. You know, it's incredible.
It's across the spectrum, yeah.
Yeah, it works. It works on me too, I admit it.
Right, so we have to be disciplined on that. But
one thing, you know, especially in the political realm that I think we've gotten away from is the idea of being kind to one another, regardless of your beliefs, your opinions. And kindness is another thing that Dr. Denning brings up in her article about its impact on your health. And what she has noticed in her own practice over the years is that people who are genuinely kind-hearted, people who put others first and try to do the right thing, people who are just forgiving and tolerant of others, she feels like those are her patients that are really aging well, and they seem to have better health as well. So not only having a positive outlook or trying to stay more optimistic in your life and being grateful, but just adding that kindness element and seeing that if you are more empathetic and kinder, if you have real loving kindness towards people, it can slow down your heart rate. It can really impact your health also in a positive way. And I think kindness is something that we're missing in the political realm for sure. In the realm of debate, just common decency and respect and kindness toward other people is one thing that has been missing. And I think, you know, social media has made it easier for people to be extremely rude and unkind because they can hide behind kind of the facade of social media, and they don't have to actually see you as a person. And if we could add back that human element, that kindness level into our debate of how to solve problems in the world, really, not just in our country, I think it would be amazing what we would accomplish.
I agree with that. Politics is an interesting animal, if you will, because politics can always come down to power and money. And we typically will say at the beginning of the show, Susan, that it's never compassionate to take other people's stuff, whether or not it's, you know, so it's really those things in the Declaration of Life, Liberty, and Pursuit of Happiness. It's really not compassionate to use a weapon or policy or excessive taxation to take those things. And so to bring in kindness, when you've got that going on where people are using those things to go after those rights, the discussion can get very acrimonious.
Well, I think it goes back to your basic premise of freedom versus force. When you feel that you're going to be forced to do something, to give up your own property for other people's supposed needs, forced to follow rules and regulations that you don't necessarily agree with or believe are advantageous to the population as a whole, even. You just maybe disagree with them. But when you are forced to do things rather than having the freedom to live your life the way you choose, regardless of your political beliefs, quite frankly, but when you have that freedom, kindness is easy to come by. But when you feel that you're being forced into something, kindness goes out the window and defensiveness comes into play. And you're just trying to defend yourself from the force that's being put upon you.
Well, and when America was founded, they didn't agree on everything, but they deliberated on it. But ultimately, they had this goal, these principles of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And I think that's where we need to go to, because I think each person individually buys into that. They would like to have their life, their liberty, and be able to pursue their happiness. So let's talk about how those policies, we can get to that together. I think that we could bring kindness then in as long as we can agree on those. Am I following you right on that, Susan?
I think so. If we could bring some decorum back into our debating process and again, maybe take the emotions out, take the personal affronts out. And this is on both sides of the political spectrum. And to bring humanity back into the debates, I think common sense would then prevail.
Okay. And the other thing I wanted to mention on kindness, we're just about out of time, is, you know, Wilberforce back in, what was it, the 1700s, he looked at the British slave trade. He was British, and he said, we've got to get rid of this. And there was no kindness in that, for sure. There's a lot of force. But the other thing that was his life's work was to bring good manners back. And I think that that would be really good here in America if we work to please, thank you, gratitude, just good manners. It's amazing what you can accomplish just with a smile.
That is so true. And I, you know, just to wrap things up, I just think it's really important to realize how much your mental state affects your health. Your physical health and your mental health, but also your physical health. And there's a lot you can do for yourself if you take a few minutes each day, refocus on what's good in your life, what you're grateful for, being kind to others, and just generally having an optimistic outlook.
Susan Harris, that's great stuff. So thank you so much for being in studio. It's great to have you here.
It's great to see you too, Kim. Thank you.
Absolutely. And our quote for the day is Audrey Hepburn. She said, nothing is impossible. The word itself says, I'm possible. I've never seen that.
I love that. I have seen that, and I love that.
Oh, me too. That's great. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them.